What is happiness to you? What has made you happy in the past? I imagine that it is an experience that you had with another person rather than something you bought. For me, visions of cartoon minions dancing to a Pharrell Williams song aside, happiness is two memories: my ordination and my marriage. Ask the question again, what is happiness to you? So the word happy is hidden in today's gospel reading, but let's just delve in a bit deeper and explore it. As in our passage we've just heard, Jesus is healing people of their diseases and curing those who are troubled by unclean spirits. We don't know how they might have felt in that extraordinary moment, but they might have been happy in their hope of healing. Because the word happy appears after Jesus has healed and restored the people who asked for him for help. As we heard, after healing them, Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you." Because the Greek word makarios is often translated as blessed, but as Christopher Evans, in my commentary on Luke, points out that it can also be translated as happy. So we might hear our gospel text like this: happy are you who are poor now. Happy are you who are hungry now. Happy are you who weep now. Happy are you when people hate you. Wording it this way sounds a little more unexpected. Because in this sermon, St. Luke reports Jesus speaking plainly and challenging his disciples about their lives and their priorities. Just to give us a little bit of context, just before this account we've heard, Jesus has gone up to the mountain to pray. Then in the morning, he has chosen his 12 disciples. So it is this point that today we hear the start of Jesus' teaching ministry. So the first message that the 12 chosen disciples and the rest of the crowd hear comprises of these four paired statements. Four paired statements that turn the conventions of the world upside down. Happy you who are poor, and woe to you who are rich. Happy are you who are hungry now, and woe to you who are full now. Happy are you who weep now, and woe to you who are laughing now. Happy are you when people hate you, and woe to you when all speak well of you. Does this help in answering that question, what is happiness? Maybe not yet. But it does start to make us to reflect what is important in our earthly life. As Jesus is teaching his disciples that the worldly norms are not the normality in the heavenly realm. The revolution that Jesus brings against the wrongs of the world is a common theme in St. Luke's Gospel. We only have to go back a few chapters to read the words of the Magnificat in which we hear, "He has scattered the proud in the conceit of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." As the call of Jesus asks us how we fulfill our life of being a disciple of Christ, how do we live in a way that shows the true happiness that we find in our life in Christ? How do we express the joy of assurance that we are blessed by God? This life of obedience, this life of discipleship will cost us in this world. And if we try and avoid that cost, we risk peddling what Bonhoeffer calls cheap grace. Bonhoeffer writes in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, "Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. And Bonhoeffer goes on and gives us the image of costly grace. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy which the merchant will sell all their goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciples leave his nets and follows him. Jesus, in our gospel passage, is speaking to the people who must know what it means to be poor, hungry, sad, and hated. And also in the crowd, there must have been others who were wealthy, full, laughing, and self-important. He's teaching them about the eternal treasures of heaven. As St. Matthew writes, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What brings us true happiness? What brings us that joy without ceasing? If we're to believe a certain shop I was in yesterday, apparently it's cupcakes. But if we are to believe and see adverts on television, achieving happiness seems to be caused by the accumulation of things. Just consider this. Have you ever seen a TV advert that is selling something that does not suggest that you will be a better person if you spend your money on that thing? Or that you will be happier if you buy all the shiny things that will supposedly transform your life? Of course, buying things can bring a sense of happiness initially, but that fades. This is not true of the eternal joy that Jesus is sharing in these Beatitudes. The good news of Jesus Christ is not an offer of worldly possessions. We cannot buy God's grace, but we can live in it. Jesus challenges us to use the gifts that we do have so that we can point to the kingdom of heaven here on earth. As we will pray later on, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And whilst I was preparing for this sermon, I was reading the UK Church Times, and I came across Angus Ritchie's reflections on today's readings, a priest and theologian. He wrote about St. Augustine's vivid contrast between the so-called wisdom of the world and a biblical vision of blessedness, that state of holy joy, of true happiness that Jesus Christ is calling us into. St. Augustine asks us to imagine asking the same question to an Epicurean philosopher, a Stoic philosopher, and a Christian. And that question is, what makes us blessed? What makes us truly happy? The Epicurean answers, bodily pleasure. The Stoic replies, a virtuous mind. And the Christian responds, the gift of God. We can identify with all these responses, but only the Christian's answer acknowledges that true happiness, living in that state of profound freedom and joy, is found in following Jesus Christ, God incarnate. The philosophical responses of the Stoic and Epicurean are based on earthly human desires. Whilst there is logical truth in what they say, they can never offer true happiness. It is from our life in Christ that the Easter joy flows. The Easter joy of Jesus conquering death is what we celebrate in joyful thanksgiving in this Eucharist. Now, St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the church in Corinth, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ have heralded a new reality. It is a reality that we must respond to. We are an Easter people. This is the heavenly reality that makes us rejoice, makes us blessed, makes us happy, makes us joyful in a profound and real way. These are the riches of God that are freely given. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.